Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read a verse that we didn't read a moment ago. I'm going to read verse 8 from that same chapter we'll be in. Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as she passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." This lady and her husband, the Bible says, made a little room in their home for Elisha. They put a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And every time he came to this city, he would go into this couple's home and he would stay with them and eat with them. And Elisha wanted to return their kindness. He wanted to do something for this couple. And one day he had Gehazi, his servant, call the lady in and says, "Hey, I'd like to do something nice for you. Can I speak to the king on your behalf? Can I speak to the captain of the host on your behalf?" And the lady said, "No, that's not necessary. You don't really have to do anything for us." So Elisha called his servant in and said, "Gehazi, I'd really like to do something for this couple. What could we do? Do you have any ideas?" And Gehazi said, "Well, they don't have any children, and her husband is old." And so Elisha said, "Well, that's a good idea. Call her back in." And his servant called the lady back in. He said, "About this time," and this is where we started reading a moment ago, "about this time, next year, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a little baby boy." And she had that son. And as we read a moment ago, one day after he was grown up, he went to help his dad in the field, and his head started hurting. And he said, "Dad, my head. And his dad said, "Well, take him to his mother." And the Bible says he laid his head in the lap of his mother till noon and then died. Now the lady, when her son died, took him into Elisha's room and laid him on Elisha's bed. And she went to her husband and said, I need a donkey. Send one of the servants with me. I need to go see Elisha." And her husband said, "Well, why are you going to do that? It's not a holiday." And she said, "I just need to go see him." And I don't know if dad at that point knew that their son was dead. There's no indication that he did. And so Elisha, he was on Mount Carmel. He looked out and he saw this lady coming. And he said to his servant, he said, "Gehazi, go meet her. And when you go meet her, I want you to ask her some questions. I need to know why she's coming. I want you to ask her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" This morning I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, "Is It Well With Thee?" I want to ask you the same question that Elisha sent by his servant to ask this woman. Is it well with thee? I want you to notice three things about this question. About the question that Elisha asked this lady and about the question that I ask you this morning. Number one, it's an intimate question. It's a very personal question. To answer the question, you have to strip off all the veneer that we put on our outsides. You have to strip off all the force fields that we put up around ourselves. To answer the question honestly, you have to strip off all the protective devices that we put around ourselves, that we surround ourselves with, to keep other people from finding out how we really are. You see, to answer this question, is it well with thee? You have to look down to your soul. In order to answer the question, is it well with thee? What I'm really asking and what Elisha was really asking is everything okay between you and God? Is your relationship with him, is it well? Because my friend, this morning, if you're not right with God, you cannot answer the question, is it well with thee, in the affirmative. You can't say, as this lady tried to say, even though it wasn't true, yes, everything's well, everything's okay. If you're not right with God, you can't say that this morning. It can't be well with you. Because you see, the Bible says that without God, without a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. and that sin separates you from God. We were all made to fellowship with Him. We were all made to have a relationship with God, the Creator, God, the Sustainer of the universe. We were made for that purpose, to have a relationship with Him, but our sin messes up that relationship. Our sin breaks that fellowship. And if you don't have fellowship with God this morning, there's something big missing in your life, and there's no way that it can be well with you. There's no way that it can. Now, even after we get saved, there's other things that mess up our relationship with God. Sin gets into our life, or circumstances come into our life, and we get mad at God because He's allowed these things to come into our life. And so this morning, again, I not only ask those folks that don't have a relationship with God, I ask Christians this morning, those that have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, is it well with thee? Is your relationship with God, is there nothing in between? Is there nothing in between the relationship between you and your Creator God? You see, I would ask you this morning, when I ask you, is it well with thee, to look at the relationship that you have with your spouse. Because I would tell you this morning, if things are not right between you and your spouse, you cannot be right with God. God made you. He made you a husband. He made you a wife. He defines in His Bible, His book, what He wants us to be as husbands and wives. And by the way, one of the things we were talking about in Sunday school, about that you can't pick and choose from this book. It's not a smorgasbord. It's all important. God gave it all to us. He wants us to profit by all of it. And He tells us, said, hey, I not only want to tell you how to have eternal life through Jesus Christ, I want to tell you how to have abundant life. And so there are things in this book that if it's going to be well with us, we need to be obedient. And so again, I'd ask the question, is it well with thee? Do you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Most people here this morning do. Praise God for that. But again, I ask the question to Christians, is it well with thee? Is it well between you and your spouse? Is it well between you and your children? If there's something between you as a parent and you as and your children, God says it shouldn't be. God tells us in this book what we need to be as parents. He tells us in this book what we need to be as children. And so I ask the question this morning to Christians, is it well with thee? Is it well between you as a parent and you as a child? Because if things are not right between you as a parent and you as a child, there's something missing in your life. You're living in disobedience to this book. You say, preacher, it's not me, it's my kids. They're the ones that's messing up our relationship. Well, listen to me. I'll tell you again. It doesn't matter who's at fault. It doesn't matter who threw the first stone. It doesn't matter who made the first mistake. You are a child of God. You have a book from God. Make it right. Get it right. Say, preacher, I've tried. Well, have you given up? Have you quit trying? Are you still trying? Are you down on your knees every day on your face before God? Say, God, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my parents is not what it's supposed to be. Dear God, help me get it right. Is it well with thee? Is everything all right between your brothers and your sisters, those members of your family? How about between your aunts and your uncles and your cousins? Let's just take in the whole family. Because God, in that book, He tells us what kind of relationships we ought to have with our brothers and our sisters, our nieces and our nephews, our aunts and our uncles, the whole family. And if things are not right between you and your family, there's something missing. And again, you might say, preacher, it's not my fault. I'm not asking whose fault it is. I'm not asking who made the first mistake. I'm not asking who's responsible for the rift that might exist. What I'm saying this morning is you're a child of God. You're a Christian. You have the book that tells you how to make it right, tells you how to make it good. Get at it. Get at it. Is it well with thee? Is everything all right between you and other Christians? Do you have a brother or sister in Christ that there's something that's messing up your relationship? Is it well with thee? It can't be well with you if there's something between you and another child of God. And again, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It doesn't matter who created the rift. As children of God, if we live by this book, we need to get it fixed. And so this morning, I'm asking the question, is it well with thee? Take off all your protective armor. Take off, break down all the walls that you've put up. Lower all your shields. We hide so much of ourselves from others that sometimes we hide ourselves from ourselves. People ask us, how are you? They don't ask the question in the same way. They don't say, is it well with thee? They say, how are you? And most of the time, without even thinking, we say, I'm fine. No problem. And the truth is, most of the time, many people are just like Solomon. They are miserable, and they have to say, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. But we don't want anybody to know. So we put up the walls. We put up the armor. We say, well, they're not really interested in how I'm doing anyway. They don't really care how I'm doing. I want to tell you something this morning. God does. God's interested in how you're doing. God's interested in the answer to the question, is it well with thee? He doesn't want you. So many Christians live lives that God never intended for them to live. He said, look, I mentioned this in Sunday school. I've not only come to give you life, I've come to give you abundant life. God not only wants us to get saved and have a home in heaven, he wants to give us an abundant life on this earth. And he tells us how in this book. So he's interested. He wants to know how you'll answer the question, is it well with thee? And don't tell me this morning. Tell God. Tell yourself. Answer the question to him. It's an intimate question. Number two, and it's an inclusive question. It includes your family. Elisha did. He said to the lady, is it well with thee? And then he had his servant ask, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your children? Is it well with your parents? Is it well with your brothers and sisters? On this point, I'm not talking about your relationship with them. I'm talking about their relationship with God. Is it well with your spouse? Is your spouse saved? Is your spouse on the way to heaven? Does your spouse know Jesus as their Savior? Do your children, do your parents, do your grandparents, do your brothers and sisters, how is their relationship with God? I don't know anybody that knows Jesus on their way to heaven and saved who has lost loved ones. I don't know how they can live with the broken heart that creates. When we have members of our family that are not right with God, that don't have a relationship with God, that are not saved, we need to understand that as a Christian, we have a responsibility before our God for their souls. You see, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, saved, on your way to heaven, you don't realize the impact that you have on your children. Every day, they are reading you like a book. Every day, they notice things about your life. And the greatest chance that a child has to come to Jesus Christ is if mom and dad are saved and sold out for God. It's the greatest chance they have. It's for mom and dad to live that life every single day representing Christ. And I can't tell you how many children I know and how many grandchildren I know that have been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ because dad and mom and grandpa and grandma lived the life that they should live and spent time down on their knees in prayer for their children and their grandchildren. It's an inclusive question. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? You remember the story in the book of Philippians where Paul and Silas were in jail. The earthquake came, and they were freed from all their chains, and the jail's doors were open, and the jailer was about to kill himself. The warden was about to kill himself, and Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And the warden came in, the jailer came in, and fell down between Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas responded to that question, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." You see, I take that as a promise that if mom and dad will get saved, if mom and dad will live by this book, if mom and dad will be the kind of Christians that they need to be, we have a promise from God that the kids will come. So it's an intimate question. It's an inclusive question. Number three, it's an insistent question. It's a question that doesn't go away. Praise God that it doesn't go away. It's a question that keeps coming back. It's a question that God asks over and over. Because you see, God doesn't give up. And I thank Him that He doesn't. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And so He keeps coming back. He keeps coming back to us as individuals. He keeps coming back with a question, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Is everything all right between you and your God? Do you have a relationship to God, with God through the Lord Jesus Christ?" I'll be honest with you, and I think many of you have the same testimony. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. I didn't get saved the first time I realized I was a sinner and that there was a penalty for that sin and that I was going to die and go to hell. I can't tell you how many times my grandmother shook her bony, crooked finger in my face and told me I was a sinner and I was going to go to hell if I didn't get saved. I understood that for a long time before I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that God didn't stop asking after the first time. I'm glad He kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and saying, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with your soul? Are you right with me?" I'm glad He never gave up. I know some people have said, "I wish God would just leave me alone." And I want to slap them across the face when they say that. Please, don't ever say that. Don't wish that God would leave you alone, because when God starts leaving you alone, you have missed heaven. When the Holy Spirit gives up on you, you have no chance of coming to God. I believe that's what the unpardonable sin is. I believe that's what grieving the Holy Spirit is. When the Holy Spirit comes to us time after time after time that says, "You need to get saved. You need to get saved now. You need to come to God now." And we say, "No, no, 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 no." Holy Spirit says, "Okay, I'm done. I won't ask you anymore." And if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw, we will not come on our own. So don't ever even think, "I wish God would just leave me alone." I know some Christians say, "I wish the Holy Spirit would just leave me alone." Yes, I know there are things in my walk. I know there are things in my life that are not the way they should be, but I just wish He'd leave me alone. I wish He'd quit messing with me about those things. Why? Why would you wish that? I mean, the Holy Spirit is that part of God that knows, that lives with inside of you. I mean, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, they all know what's going on in your life, but the Holy Spirit is there. He can see those things that you need to correct in your life, fix in your life. Don't ever say, "Just leave me alone." Just we will not fix them on our own. We will not be convicted of them on our own. If the Holy Spirit quits talking to us, we'll go on and on and on with those things in our life that shouldn't be. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? If it's not, I got three suggestions this morning. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if we admit that we're a sinner, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, and we come and confess and ask Him to save us, He'll save us. It cannot be well with you until you know Jesus as your Savior. So number one, get saved. Number two, build your life around His will. Stay in His will. Say, preacher, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, if you're not saved this morning, I'll tell you, first step in His will for your life is for you to get saved, because He's not willing that any should perish and go to hell. The second thing is, I'll tell you, that we can discern His will from that book. The more we stay in that book, the more we'll know what His will is. And when we pray and say, Lord, I want to do Your will, I need You to show me what it is, we put God on the spot, like I mentioned in Sunday school this morning. Because if we pray and ask God to show us what His will is, He has the responsibility to somehow show us what that will is. Now, again, don't pray that prayer if you don't mean it. Don't ask God to show you His will and then you decide before it even comes, or you're going to set in judgment of it and says, well, if I agree with it, I'll do it, but if I don't agree with it, I'm not going to do it. Don't pray. Don't ask. Because if God shows you His will, He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable to get in that will. Is it well with thee? It'll be well with thee if you're saved. It'll be well with thee if you're in the center of God's will. And then number three, build your life around a good church. Build your life around a good church, a place that God has given us to stir up and provoke one another unto good works. I wouldn't want to try to live my life as a Christian and not be a part of a good church. I need the fellowship. I need the example. I need people in this place. I'm not talking about myself as a pastor. I'm just talking about myself as a member. I need the example from the people in this place. I need the prayers of the people in this place. I need the encouragement from the people in this place. I need the rebuke from the people in this place. I need for the people in my church to help me live the life that God wants me to live. And so do every one of you. I know we can worship God out in the woods. I know that we can worship God in nature. But a star or a tree never told me where I was messing up in my life. But I have had many Sunday school teachers, and I've had many preachers, and I've had many good Christian friends take me and say, hey, there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, or there's something in your life that should be there that's not. I can't get that from a tree, and I can't get that from a star, but I can get it from Christians that I go to church with. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? In 1871, they had the fire in Chicago that destroyed the whole city. There was a lawyer that lived in that city named Horatio G. Spafford, S-P-A-F-F-O-R-D, Spafford. He was a lawyer. He was also had his wealth invested in real estate. And so when the fire came, he lost his whole fortune. And that same year, his only son, he had five children, four girls and one son, his son, who was 4 years old, died of scarlet fever. So in 1 year, he lost his entire fortune. He lost his little boy. He drowned his sorrow in going to work and helping rebuild the city. There were thousands of people that were homeless, and he devoted his life to helping the city of Chicago rebuild, helping people rebuild their homes. A couple of years later, in November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and daughters to Europe. He was close to D.L. Moody, who was a pastor in Chicago, and Ira Stankey, and they had gone into evangelism, and they were over in England having a revival. And he said to his wife, he said, we'll go over there, we'll have a little vacation, we'll visit with Brother Moody and Brother Stankey and see how the revival in England's doing. And so they booked passage on a ship. When they got to New York and were about to get on the boat, something came up in one of his businesses that he had to take care of, and so he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead. Early in the morning of November 22nd, 1873, the French liner that they were on collided with another ship and sank. of the 226 people that lost their lives that day, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, his four daughters, were drowned. His wife was one of only 47 people that survived. When she landed in Wales, she cabled home to her husband and said, "Saved alone. Saved alone." Of course, Horatio left on the next ship to be with his wife. And on a cold December night, as they passed over the spot where that French ship had gone down, the captain called them to the deck and said, "Mr. Spafford, this is the spot where the ship with your daughters went down. This is the spot where your daughters perished." He went back to his cabin. He couldn't sleep. He got down on his knees and he says, "God, I don't understand it, but I know it's your will. It is well." And in that cabin that night, he wrote the song that we love to sing around here. The first verse says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." In other words, when everything in my right life is going okay, when I have peace in my life, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, when everything in my life's not going okay, when the circumstances of my life are like a storm, sea in the middle of the storm, and the billows roll, in both of those circumstances, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And so again, I ask you this morning, is it well with thee? It'll only be well if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is it well with thee? It'll only be well if you're living by this book. Is it well with thee? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you never leave us alone. You keep coming after us until we get saved. And then, Father, when we're saved, you keep coming after us until we're living the kind of life that you want us to live. Help us to answer that question this morning. Is it well with thee? If there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray they come this morning. We could help them make it well. We could help them ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, if there's just one, help them to come. And then for the many Christians that are here, Father, help us to tear down all the walls. Help us to look at our soul, to look at our life. Help us to answer the question to you, is it well with thee? And Father, if it's not, help us to do what we need to do, what we can do to make it well. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.